shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Happy Tuesday night to you. Coming at you live on a Tuesday night instead of a Monday night. Listen, you know why I'm doing Tuesdays is because I don't have to drive anywhere on Wednesdays. Wednesdays are the office day for me, so I don't have to drive in the city. So the Tuesday seems to work pretty well for me. Maybe we'll switch to a Tuesday. I don't know. Waiting to see some numbers. See how it comes in. If the Tuesday shows are better than the Monday shows, or if it's the same, if it's less. I don't know. Got to keep it. Hopefully it'll all be the same. That's what I want. I don't want anybody to think anything is too different, because we're going to switch it, but I don't know. We'll switch it for now. And plus, based on the guests, you know, I have to be live. That's what we do. If we're not live, then what are we doing? Everyone podcasts. We want to be live. Live is where it's at in the long run for me, because I think that everyone's going to get content through their phones and everything now, but if you're live, it what separates you a little bit, but you can still get the content through podcasts and everything else. What's going on, guys? Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live, right here on a Tuesday night. It's your boy, Chef Plum, and of course, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell everybody here you can hear the song. I was joined by the one, the only, the enigmatic, the charismatic enigma. No, isn't that a wrestling thing? I don't know. The one and only Chef Dave Boredom. Dave, good evening, dude. What's happening? No, but listen, so my thing is, with it is here is that, you know, I posted on Instagram stories today. I said, you know, what happened was I had seen some people on the Instagram. Listen to me, on the Instagram, what am I, my fucking grandmother? On Instagram, they would post, like, someone writes them a good review for doing a catering job, or someone writes them a good review for doing a, you know, a private chef gig. They would take the review and then post it on their Instagram, and I don't know, man, that kind of drives me crazy. So what I did was, on Culinary 101 today on Instagram, I said, posting amazing reviews about yourself on social media that clients have written make you look very needy and selfish. Being great at what you do speaks for itself. Begging for praise because you're good at your job is not great. It's pretty hack. Don't be a hack. Here's what I'm trying to say, right? If they do. But here's my thing, man. Like, if you're good at what you do, you don't need to tell everybody. They already know. Or they will know. Like, it's what I tell cooks in the kitchen with me, man. I don't mind taking pictures, but in the middle of service, don't start sitting there taking fucking pictures of shit. Reason why, because, like, if your food's great, you don't have to take pictures. Other people will do it for you. The shit it doesn't have to be that, you know? Well, I got a little bit of feedback from some people. You know, if you go to your Instagram DMs and you have, like, your DM messages and you have the other category up there where you can click and see. A gentleman named Chef, I'm not saying anybody's name, it's mad. He said he disagrees to an extent. He'll post certain reviews, not often, thanking them in the post. That's different. That's not what I'm saying. And expressing gratitude towards those who take time to leave a positive review. Since we all know less people take time to write something positive than those who immediately write negative reviews within the moments of dining. He's very right about that. He says he does it mainly to try to get people to leave more reviews for their positive experiences. I don't know. I mean, I think he's right about that, Dave. What do you think? I don't think you need to... I don't know. Most jobs I've done, I'd say 70% of the jobs I've done, people will send me an email or a thank you email or a review on Thumbtack or something like that. I mean, what this guy's saying... He's not wrong. I mean, I like the way he's doing it to express a gratitude or a thank you to them. But again, maybe they don't want to be thankful about that too.
But I don't think you need to do it, like, publicly on your Instagram.
Right, right.
So.
Maybe that's true. You know, I mean, I guess that could totally be the case when it comes down to it. I just don't think it's worth posting it on Instagram, especially when people are, you know, especially when people... Maybe they don't want.
I mean,
to
like,
it's such. I don't know. It's such a weird subject for me because I mean, the clientele that I work with in particular are very, you know, they are very hush hush. They don't want everyone to see. You know.
Yeah, I could get that too, but I mean, like, here's the thing: is it like actually on their Instagram feed, or is it like just something in their story for the day?
No, dude, it's on their Instagram feed.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a tough one because, like. I throw up a bunch of just random stuff in my story that I wouldn't post on my wall, but I wouldn't post any reviews on my wall.
Right. Right. Well, so. Yeah, I don't think I would do that either, man. Anyway, talking about the Instagram story I put up on Instagram today where I was talking about people posting reviews on their Instagram about, you know, what they've done or reviews about, you know, positive reviews, basically, you know, I just... to me, it feels like if you're going to post something like that, are you posting it because you don't get a lot of them? Or are you posting it because, you know, I just don't get it. Like, it's not something that I would do, I guess, is my point. And that's why I jumped at it. And I don't think it's appropriate to do. So, but again, it's my Instagram. So, it's my opinion, right?
Yeah.
There you go. That's what it is, man. That's what, hey, listen, too. I also want to talk this a little bit, too. If you guys here locally in the Tri-State area... I was on Star 99 today on our good friend Anna and Raven's show, and they're having some squirrel issues, Dave. Did you heard about this a little bit?
Kind of.
Yeah, so he's having, Raven is having some squirrel issues on the show, and they're trying to figure out what to do about it. And I told them that, well, if they could get me a squirrel, I'd be happy to cook it for him. Dave, is that a crazy thing? You've had squirrel, right?
Once or twice, yeah.
So I'm going to be, we'll see. They're going to let me know if they can get a squirrel. And if they can get one Friday on Star 99.9 here in the Connecticut area. And, of course, you can pick it up down in New York, too. I will be on the air cooking squirrel for Ann and Raven. So it should be a lot of fun. I couldn't believe it, though, when they called me. I'm like, dude, really? Like, this is the kind of show we're doing now? What happened? Gone are the days of Casey Kasem. Or, you know, the good old Opie and Anthony days. Now it's just all about stupid cooking squirrels and, I don't know, whatever. I'll save you some, Dave. You want some?
Yeah, I'll totally eat some.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take in the new air fryer from Ergo Chef, the My Air Fryer, which you can get at ErgoChef.com, which is, by the way, fantastic. I'm going to take that in there and do a healthy version of squirrel for them.
Sorry, just that sentence right there.
That's right. Well, look, man, you check out Plum Bluff Foods live tonight, man. We appreciate you, whether you're finding us live or on Stitcher or on iTunes or iHeart or Spotify or any place else. So, but the one thing that's been great, man, the review. So if you get 2 seconds, please go on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and just give that 5-star review. We give this show to you once a week for free, and we got some big things coming up. I'm waiting for Dave to jump down my throat about that. Also, we got a couple of questions people sent in tonight for our buddy Dame. We're going to ask him and see if we can get some whatever questions he might like. And see if we can get some gear from Line Threads for you, man. We'll put you in a drawing for that. We're going to run that all week. Should be a lot of fun. But yeah, so Dave, more importantly, man, tonight our guest, the food titan, the super official food titan, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Dame Drops. I got to tell you what, man, it's just so... This guy... The guy's on Rachel Ray. He's been all over television. He's been everywhere. And then not only that, he's just super fun and cool and nice. And I tell you what, that's what I liked about him the most when I first saw him on YouTube. Man, I was going on a YouTube fix years and years ago, Dave, where it was all about, you know, who are those guys that did crazy food? Do you remember what I'm talking about? And they would do the counter on their screen. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I do.
Ah, shit, I can't think of their names right now. It's driving me crazy. So yeah, the guys like that, and that's where I found Dame, along with him doing reviews, and of course is super popular, like the one that kind of set it all off for him, was the one where he did, the five guys one, right? Which is freaking hysterical, man. So I love that, and kind of got me on board with him, you know, and then I end up just going to Twitter and not really paying attention to YouTube, even though, Dave, I was the first American featured on Jamie Oliver's Food Tube. But, you know, you look at, there's all kinds of great food people on YouTube. That's the point. Jamie Oliver's one. You look at Sorted Food are great guys. I mean, there's so many great food guys, and you got to, for sure, put the one and only Dame Drops up there as well, right?
Definitely.
I mean, that's it, man. So we're really excited to have him on and talk a little bit. Dave, you can throw his plugs in there really quick if you want.
All right. Well, you can check him out on YouTube at youtube.com/DameDrops. His official Facebook, facebook.com/officialDameDrops. And he has a new YouTube online training course. That's www.DameDrops.tv.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to the one and only Dame Drops. Dame, what's up, brother? You there?
Yo, what's going on, baby? What's happening with you?
Oh, there he is, man. I'll tell you what, man. What's going on with me is that I'm tired as shit. But that's just the way it goes in my world, as I'm sure you are too. But every time I see you, you're running on like high octane all the time, dude.
Dude, yo, that's what life is all about. Life is too short to run low. And even when you have nothing left to give, you push yourself a little more, and that's how you break down the barriers.
Nice, nice. Now, look, how was my intro for you? Was that super official?
The intro, it was all right. It wasn't half bad. I won't even lie. I give it like a 3.5 out of 5.
Out of 5? Okay, I'll take that. I'll give it a 3.5. I'll take that. Now, as long as it's not like a Yelp review, that's all I care about, man. Hey, look, what do you think, man, about people? This is, I mean, just about what we were talking about earlier, just because I want an outside perspective. People who will post reviews about them, like positive reviews about themselves on social media.
What are they going through, like, inside? If you have to post the positive reviews that you find about yourself, well, what are you in search of?
See?
Like, as a creator, as an influencer, you know, we get positive, negative feedback all day long.
Right.
But if I only showcase the positive, that's not my actual reality. The reality is, even when you get the negative feedback, it's not so much somebody coming to attack your person. It's a lot of criticism for the most part. Like, they see something you might not see. But what's the point of actually just posting all the positive stuff when that's not the world in which we live?
It's not
honest. You have to take the bad with the good.
It's just not honest, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. And I see it on there, and I got a lot of heat for what I put on the stories today for about it. But, you know, but that's the thing, man, with you is that you are such a nice, positive, like, humble, friendly. I mean, when I saw you at the Food and Wine Fest this past year, you were, like, the sweetest guy ever. But, I mean, your world is the internet and stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. Dude, that's not a positive place. The internet sucks. It's not a very nice place.
Nah, it's not. I tell individuals that want to come into this life, and I don't care if it's YouTube or if it's Twitter, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is that you want to do as a platform, you have to have a thick skin. You can't come in here thinking everything's going to be strawberries and whipped cream. Now, you about to get some beats that you might not like.
Right. I mean, do you answer them? Do you actually respond to people who are negative or no?
When I'm in my sarcastic state and I'm just having fun anyway, I'll give them the love that they're looking for. I figure like this, right? I respond to the positive comments all day long. Now, you know, that's a given. And what you hear from a lot of creators and influencers is when you see the negative comments come in, usually that's what you're automatically going to see. Like, you want to respond to it. And then people always tell you just to ignore it. You don't necessarily always have to ignore it. Have fun with life. And make sure when you do respond, you respond in a positive manner.
Okay.
Like, you got to get under their skin and stay there. Don't let them control you. You control the conversation.
Damn. That's pretty good, man. So you come in there and you kind of drive the conversation, but not really insulting. Because a lot of guys even get personal, and there's just no reason to do that. You know, you don't know
me. No need. No need. Oh, you know, so know. Like, yeah, extra fat. You eating up all the foods. You need to lose weight. Hit the gym. And I'll be like, well, you know, as long as I can hit those weights with, like, a cheeseburger with extra bacon on there, I'm all about that life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to give it back to them, but give it back to them with love. Because sometimes as kids, they miss the extra hug from their parents. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. Now, listen, it's funny, man, just hearing your cadence when you talk. Because I know that for a while you were kind of into spoken word, right?
Yes, I was for many years, actually.
I mean, it was even something you thought about as a career.
You know what? Here's the funny thing. A lot of people do not know, so I'm going to let you in on a little something.
Okay.
YouTube started about 2006. In 2007, that was the actual first time I created a YouTube channel. I believe it was called Daddy Loved, and it was all spoken word. It was using a JVC camera. This was before the food. It was all spoken word that I was uploading. And then, you know, I stopped that channel and ended that life and started and rebranded and all that good stuff. But I started with spoken word on YouTube.
You got to bring that back as like some like B-roll or something, man. Some like C files or something, crazy. You know?
It'd be crazy, right?
But it's funny, man, because like it's weird how we get into the jobs that we're in and how we're doing what we're doing, man. You know, listen, I went to the best culinary school in the world. I've trained some amazing chefs, and you know, I make my living now, you know, making dick jokes and cooking food for you know small groups of people. Where you know, for you, like you kind of worked all the job weird little jobs, just like I did. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, ended up where you are now. How did it ever become, you know, how long did it take you to go from, you know, I'm starting this YouTube channel where I'm going to review fast food in the car and be silly in the car to all of a sudden where that's my job?
So you got to figure, I want to say roughly 2.5 years from the time I started doing anything food related. Anything food related was like late 2009, early 2010. I started doing food sketches. And then I started shortening up doing food reviews.
Yeah.
And this is like the whole life of big box retail management, because I was working for Home Depot as supervisor. I did Lowe's as assistant manager, Walmart as manager. And it was when I was with Walmart when I started doing my food reviews for lunch in the parking lot. And that was in Rocky Hill, Connecticut. Damn. And I remember just sitting there with, at the time it was Dunkin' Donuts, and they came out with their frozen hot chocolate.
Yeah, right?
So I remember doing that review, and I had my, you know, my Walmart button up on, and I had my little name badge on me. I was looking all spiffy, you know. I was pulling like a 25,000 hour day, because they don't care about you and have you working forever. But I remember sitting there in the car and hitting that frozen hot chocolate, and it was amazing, bro. It was everything.
Was it?
And the energy in that particular video, I remember all my comments coming straight down. They were like, hey, listen, you need to go to McDonald's next, try this, or go to Subway next and try that. They got used to me just having different lunches for my lunch break and talking about them on camera, to the point it's like, okay, well, Dame is our go-to guy. Nobody else was doing it at the time. It was just me. I was the only guy sitting in my car yelling at food to myself.
You did. You do yell at food. It's great. It's amazing. I love it.
I get emotional, bro. I can't lie to you. I get emotional.
I've seen you when they put good bacon on a sandwich. You look like you, I mean, it's like you think about having another marriage. It's a whole different world then. the thing that's interesting to me is that when you first started doing it, I mean, we live in a world now where, I mean, we all at our house on our MacBooks with Adobe Premiere, Final Cut, you name it. We have this most amazing software that we can edit things. We can make real movies. I mean, look, you and I could sit down together and we could make Terminator. Remember Terminator 2 Judgment Day came out? Remember that movie?
But of course.
That movie was just, I mean, you and I are about the same age. That movie was the fucking shit, dude. Everybody liked Terminator 2, right? We could make that now on our computers.
Right, correct.
That's where we are now. We could make that. But your reviews, man, is especially the early ones, there wasn't a lot of editing, was there?
No. Like, you know what? There's something to be said about the simplicity that you put out to other individuals. Right? And it doesn't even matter how old you are. Like, when Facebook took off, Facebook was simple. The format of it was simple. When they tried to go outside the box and started adding all this extra stuff to the platform,
that was crazy.
They started losing people's attention. You keep things simple and basic, people will tune in for it. So you don't have to get crazy. And I never really got that crazy. I mean, now I might, you know, slap in some words that pop on the screen, make a screen shake, you know, add some reverb and echo here. But outside, I don't get too crazy with it, bro.
What are you editing with now?
Final Cut Pro X.
Okay. Ooh. Now, are you a guy, since you do Final Cut, are you like, fuck Adobe, I don't mess with that. But you can tell I'm a chef. It's a chef show, man. You can say whatever bad words you want.
I like the simplicity of Final Cut Pro. I mean, I was a guy that was, you know, iMovie was my thing for many years.
Yep.
And when Final Cut Pro dropped, I was like, well, let me go ahead and start messing with this now that I understand a lot about iMovie.
Right.
And it was an easy transition for me.
Because I think they're both good.
Had a few more features, and then pow, you know, you can make the magic happen.
Right. I mean, they're both great programs. I mean, I talk with a bunch of film, you know, the guys who do our show, they all use Adobe. And I'm like, oh, but I've been using iMovie, so I want to use Final Cut. And they're like, no, you have to use Adobe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? The Adobe Final Cut battle is very much similar to, you know, Apple and Samsung. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what you love at the end of the day.
That's all that matters, man. That's all that matters. Hey, listen, let me ask you, man. So, the world's kind of changing and going different directions and with everything, man. I think YouTube is here to stay. It ain't going nowhere, man, no doubt about it. But what about things like Patreon and things like Twitch? You think those are up and coming?
Here's the thing. I personally love Patreon, and let me tell you why. If you're coming from YouTube, going over to Patreon, it was a major, you know, role switch for a lot of creators to sustain that they love doing their passion. Because as we know, YouTube made a lot of changes over the years. The algorithm changed.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the benefit of everyone. And people are like, hey, listen, I still love what I do. I still love filming, you know, whether it was art, whether it was, you know, beauty channels, whether it was food channels, whatever the case may have been. You put your time, your blood, your sweat, your tears, your hours into your filming hustle just to find out you're getting demonetized for every video you upload. So now you got to figure out a plan B, right? So a lot of creators started going to Patreon because Patreon's like, hey, listen, you slide up over here and we'll change the format up. Anybody that wants to watch you, they can, you know, contribute as little as a dollar. upwards whatever, you know, your expense was going to be, you would find a way to gift them back, you know, give them something out of your time, whether that was a one-on-one, you know, Google chat, whatever the case may have been, whatever gift you gave away. But Patreon really allows you to get in touch with the people who love to watch what you do and give them something special, something unique. So I love Patreon for that. As far as Twitch, Twitch to me was always that gaming platform.
Right.
And I know as of recent, Twitch started to expand and, you know, pretty much branch out into other things aside from gaming. But to me, it will always be the main hub for gaming. And of course, you know, everybody else started coming into the gaming field. I remember when YouTube gaming was created, they have Facebook gaming, but Twitch is the granddaddy of that.
Dude, can you imagine if they had that shit when you and I were kids playing Sega Genesis? Oh, like, I'm just sitting there watching somebody play Altered Beast all day long or Golden Axe. Come on.
Yo, Plum, can I beat you in the head with this story real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we're about to go back. And when I say, bro, we're going back to 1988. Rocking.
I'm there. All right, I'm there.
Remember when Blockbuster Video was hot fire?
Yep, I remember.
Blockbuster Video in Stratford, Connecticut, they had a competition, 150 kids. It was two systems, bro. One was Sega Genesis, the other being Super Nintendo, of course. And I remember on Sega Genesis, there was three games that had to be played. One was Sonic 3. The other one was Virtual Racing. And the third game was NBA Jam.
Oof.
Now, they would give you a time limit. I believe it was either 2 or 3 minutes to play the games and acquire as many points as possible to move up on the ranking board.
Okay, okay.
If by chance, by the time this whole competition was over, you came out number one, you were receiving two tickets for you and a friend. Of course, you know, your mother or your father would have to be your friend because they had to bring you to New York for the major grand championship.
Oh, shit.
All right? On top of the two tickets, you were going to be able to choose any of the games of the three that you played. You were able to get one to take home. And then, of course, there was like a pizza spot next door. So you got like a free pizza night.
Yeah, okay. That's awesome.
So I'm getting busy, right? I played all three. No, all game I didn't play the three was Virtual Racing. I didn't have that at home, but I had Sonic 3 and I had NBA Jam. Yeah. And I was nice at NBA Jam. I was on fire, Chef. You hear what I'm saying to you? He's on fire is all you heard from that 3-point and half. Oh, man, come on, baby. At the end of the day, I won that championship.
Hell yeah, you won it.
I beat out 149 other kids.
What?
I came out number one, and I remember getting my little, you know, prizes. I got my little pizza night. I'm like, Mom, look what I got. Yeah, yeah, good for you. Like, Mom, I got – and I took Virtual Racing because that's a game I didn't have. Mom, I got Virtual Racing. All right, boom, and I got these two tickets. You got to take me to New York so I could do the major championship. She said, you better be happy with the other two prizes you got. So, Chef, I cried. No lie. I cried for a whole month.
No.
For a whole month, I cried, yo.
No. Yeah. Damn. That's terrible, man. Hey, look, you got those two prizes, though, right? They're good.
Yeah, the prizes were good, but I couldn't play in the major game. So when Twitch came out, if Twitch was out back then.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Come on.
I was a dude, you can make fun of me here. I was a dude who actually went and paid money for the 32X for my Genesis. I was a Genesis guy.
Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh.
I did that. I was so excited. I was like, no, it's 32 bits. And they're like, what's a bit? I'm like, I don't fucking know, but I was 32 of them in there right now.
Hold up. Did you hold the L and purchase Sega CD?
All right, so here's the thing about Sega CD. I used to, so my Blockbuster Video, when I grew up in Virginia, you could rent it for the weekend, right? Ooh. You could rent yourself a Sega CD. You had to give them a $100 deposit. And for 30 bucks, you could rent Sega CD for the weekend. And I rented it for like 3 months straight. I kept renting it. I reserved it every weekend. I would cut grass. I would, whatever it took, man, I was cutting grass or I was working at the KFC to save my money to rent my Sega CD. And dude, none of the games were good. I remember one night. I got Prince of Persia. Remember Prince of Persia on there?
Come on, of course I remember that.
Yes, I mean, it looked amazing, but the control was like, come on, man. It wasn't even a game. I was so pissed off, man. So pissed off. The Spider-Man game. Remember Spider-Man?
Oh, my goodness. That Spider-Man joint, B.
How much of a letdown was that? I mean, it was fun playing it, but then you had to wait 30 minutes for the game to load.
Right. Right. It was. I mean, Sega CD, they knew it was a bust. They knew what it was. But here's the turnaround. Here's where things turned around for Sega in my eyes. All right?
Go for it.
When they released the Dreamcast.
Oof. That was a good system.
when they released Dreamcast, and here's real talk. I couldn't afford a Tandy or an IBM computer back then.
Okay.
Okay, those were the expensive computers I have. Good $3,000, right? Bam. I couldn't afford that. If you had a Dreamcast, and everybody knows, you were able to get the web browser 2.0 disk.
Right.
That was the boot disk you put in your Dreamcast.
Yep.
You used your Dreamcast controller. You know what I'm saying?
They had a keyboard, too. You get the keyboard.
Yeah, you got a keyboard. So your Dreamcast controller was your mouse. You had a keyboard with the, come on, man.
The 56K modem built into it.
That's how I got online back then.
That's what it was. I remember that, man. I remember that. Dude, the Dreamcast was a good system, but Crazy Taxi was a fun game with that. That was a good system, man. It was. You know what? I had my first, we're getting way off track, but whatever, dude. It's not, we're down a rabbit hole.
It's real right now.
Look, I bought Web TV. I'm not even going to lie. I bought Web TV back in the day.
Serious?
Living in my 400 square foot apartment in Richmond, Virginia City, I needed me to get on the internet. I couldn't afford a computer, but Web TV was $99. I was like, let me get one of them. And I ain't never waited so long for a porn picture to load.
They know about gaming. They know exactly what we're talking about, man. That was just a blast from the past. That was real. We had to touch on that since we were talking about Twitch.
You know, I bet my Web TV email might still be active somewhere. I don't even know. I gotta look that up. We'll see what's in there. But yeah, man, I think Twitch is a thing, man, because they're reaching out. They're trying to do more stuff. I've been thinking about trying to get on there and do some food stuff, man, like stream some live, like recipes, like cooking live in the kitchen or something. I don't know. And see what I've never done it. You know, I've never done it.
Let me hit you in the head with this one right now. If you plan to do that,
right,
and you're trying to figure out just something baseline, a streamline streaming device, they got that Mevo Plus.
I've seen that.
And it's really plug and play wherever you go.
Right. And then it can like focus directly. It'll stay focused right on you the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen that, man. That looks pretty dope. I got to look into that. And it's only $200, I think, or something. It's not super expensive.
I have one and it's collecting dust right now. I'm looking at it right now. That's the funny thing.
Are you?
Because I meant to do some streaming. Yeah, that never happened.
Hey, I got this Web TV. I'll trade you for it. There you go. Hey, listen, man, what you do is so awesome. It's just it's amazing to see guys like you who come in here and change the game up a little bit, especially for us food guys. How do you feel when you hang out with, like, because I mean, you know all kinds of food people, man. I mean, I know you've known so many chefs that are on YouTube and whatnot, and even just locally. I mean, you do so much stuff with chefs. I mean, as a guy who does fast food and you're working with chefs, I mean, do you prefer the fast food or do you like, you know, are you still down with like really great meals? Like if I wanted to have you come to a pop-up dinner I'm doing, man, would you come or is that like, nah, I ain't down with that?
Yo, I'd be right there, B. Here's the thing when it comes to fast food and why, you know, I'm in that fast food bubble in that lane, created the lane, and YouTube, the audience on YouTube will typecast you fast.
Right.
If you've been doing one thing and that's what they've grown to love, that's all they want to see you. They don't want to see you do anything else.
Right.
Like, every time I try to go to the left a little bit and, like, review some regular food, they won't watch it.
No?
Those views would be low all day, but let me go run my little happy ass over to a McDonald's and grab a cheeseburger, and all the views are right there. You mean to tell me I just went and got that old special steak with the gold flakes on it and caviar? Shit done cost me damn near $700, and I got 3 views, and I came over and got this little raggedy cheeseburger, and ain't no cheese on it, and the bun is stale, and I got 300,000 views? You got to be kidding me. So I just, you know, I just stay in my lane, bro.
Right. Dude, no doubt about it.
I do get busy, though, with regular foods, man. Like me, I love going to Mohegan Sun with the wife. I slide over there to Michael Jordan Steakhouse. I get busy, bro.
You gotta go to Tuscany and see my man Dave, man. He'll take care of you.
Oh, and I haven't slid over there yet, B.
Yeah, come through.
Yeah, definitely. I can make that happen.
Well, Dave, that was your spot to plug right there, but you didn't. That was your spot. Like, it was there. This is what I'm taught. See, I'm teaching Dave is the plan. That's what the whole point of him being here. I'm teaching him. And that was the end right there. Boom. Perfect spot. Get the plug in there to move on. And we just sat there like a bunch of just staring at the deer in headlights. Like, okay, now what? Man, get a man's plugs, Dave.
All right. Check out his YouTube channel at youtube.com/DameDrops and his Facebook at facebook.com/OfficialDameDrops.
Man, let me ask you, dude, is Facebook dead? Are we done with Facebook? Or has Facebook made a big comeback?
No, Facebook.
Here's the thing. We will never be done with Facebook. And let me tell you why. I know, you know, the younger generation, Right. And when I say young, I'm talking about us and then everybody younger than us. They're not really rocking heavy with Facebook.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, dude.
Like Snapchat, and you know, they have, of course, YouTube. YouTube is definitely for the younger generation. Facebook is, I tell you, it is so simple. The older generation, they love Facebook.
Right.
Like your moms, your granddaddy, your dad, like everybody's going to be on Facebook up in age. But as far as YouTube, and, you know, the youth control everything nowadays. The way social media pays these kids, you got kids that are 15 years old, damn near multimillionaires off social media.
That's crazy.
So everything that they're promoting right now, ads and everything else, that's where the money's going to, heavy within Instagram, within, you know, Facebook. Well, Facebook's doing well, too, now that they just started paying the creators. But YouTube, of course, being that number one giant. So, yeah, Facebook's not going anywhere, and YouTube, I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon.
You know, it's a thing with Facebook, though, too, and you're right. It does have that kind of, that stigma of being, like, the old generation type thing. Because, honestly, like, look, for Restaurant Road Trip, they were like, you got to be on Facebook. I didn't even have a Facebook account. Mm-hmm. And then you got to be on Facebook. And I was like, why? I mean, I don't really care what my mom's friends are doing. Like, I don't give a shit. They're like, no, you got to do it. But then next thing you know, like, we're posting, you know, you've seen Restaurant Road Trip, man. Local content. And we're getting 80,000, 90,000 views. It's crazy.
That's right.
I mean, people love that shit, you know?
And you know what? And it's funny because I'll, you know, put a review up on my YouTube channel and I'll put it up on my Facebook page as well. And again, it's a totally different audience.
Right.
So
right.
Even if I do fast food, on Facebook, it's 50-50. It's really based on how new the item is.
Right.
However, again, like we were talking about that steak and that caviar, you know, I'll give me some collard greens, nice little baked potato, all that good stuff. I put that on YouTube, it won't do as well, but the moment I take the same dish and put it on Facebook, it goes crazy.
Wow.
And that's just the older audience. That's what they want to see.
Yeah, I guess so, huh? It's the older audience. Hey, look, man, has McDonald's or any of the big corporations, McDonald's, like Burger King, they ever reached out to you and said, yo, man, can we use this, or you gotta take that down, or, you know, or don't say that. I mean, I guess they can't say don't do it, but, like, have they ever reached out to you in a positive or negative way?
I kid you not, bro. The only company that I have not worked with since I started, we're working with companies in 2013, would be Subway and Wendy's. Everybody else, I have been working with.
How is Subway not? They're a Connecticut company. You would think they'd be all over you.
Yeah. Nah, well, you're talking about Subway, right?
Yeah.
Well, since of their situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
Haven't been working with anyone until that fully dies down.
Wow. That's a good point.
Hashtag,
I didn't think about that.
Thanks, Jerry. Hashtag, thanks, Jerry.
How much did you lose, Jared? Oh, everything. My fault.
Yeah, my bad. But not, I've worked with them all, bro. And I mean, the craziest thing, you know, Taco Bell, they went as far as they'll fly me out there to the HQ in Cali, bro, have me up in the test kitchen. They had me trying stuff like 6 months before it even came out.
Wow.
McDonald's always showing me crazy wild love. They'll bring me out there. I remember when they came out with their signature burgers, they actually had me up in the kitchen filming for the signature burgers.
Wow.
They had me up on this big old, like, super ad campaign poster board. It was crazy, B.
That's insane.
Burger King always has me at a lot of their major events as well. And, I mean, it's just a great look, and it's a great connection, and the connection's real because they know, even if they show me love like that and they pay me for this, that, and the third, if they come up with something bad, I'm still going to beat them in the head, and all they do is on Twitter, they apologize to me.
Yeah, that's great. Though. I mean,
that's all they've ever done. All of them, they just apologize and they say, "What can we do to fix it?"
What more would you want? I mean, that's amazing to have them acknowledge you like that. That's fucking great. I mean, mm-hmm. McDonald's Twitter, I don't have it in front of me. I've got to imagine it's just millions of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're talking about you. That's great.
It's crazy.
I mean, I'm downplaying you, but that's a shit ton of people.
Yeah, I'm like me. I don't feel no different ever any given day. I'm still a regular guy, regular like anybody else. We all bleed the same. It's just I jumped into a lane that was different. It was off to the left. Nobody was messing with it. And the kickback has been nice.
Right.
And it also allowed, you know, a direction for a lot of the new heads that are doing the same thing that I've been doing for years for them to jump into. And they reach out to me and they're like, damn, you know, how can I start working with brands? So I sit down and give them a game plan. I give these new dudes some game. That's what I give them, Chef.
Good.
Game.
I'll take some game. You throwing game around? I need some game. I've been married a long time, but I got no game anymore. Like I got, no, I just had 15 years of marriage celebrated. How about that?
Heard you. Congratulations.
I think so. No, it's good. It's good. That's a whole other story. Listen, you got to think at this point, McDonald's is giving you like a special like gold arches card where you just show up and show the card, and they just give you whatever you want.
You would think so, but the fact that some of the buildings are corporate and others are like owned by franchisee owners, it's different flow. But when they reach out to me direct, whatever facility they got me going to, they roll the red carpet out for your boy, literally.
That's awesome, dude.
It gets crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. It's just, here's what I love about it the most, man. I want to be honest with you. Because so many people, look, man, I've done Food Network 12 times. You know, I've done so much shit. And you can vouch for this as much, and this is kind of one of the things I want to get out there and have someone of your caliber even say, just to kind of reiterate for me, look, you could do all these things, man. You could do it, right? But if you don't keep pushing it, no one's going to push it for you. You have to get out there and push yourself. You got to get out there and hustle, because that's what it's all about. Just because I've won Chopped, and I've won grocery games, and I've won the America's Best, all these things, none of that shit matters. Unless you're going to be out there pushing it. Same thing with D over here, man. He's over there busting his ass doing his thing. Do you think if he hadn't done that video with Five Guys and that whole thing happened, like, if he didn't start pushing that and working that angle, that any of this would have happened to him? I mean, no, the man's worked his ass off for it.
It has to be continuous. You have to know in the back of your mind, even the moment you go viral, and even with you, you know, being on Chopped and killing it out there with Food Network, you have 24 hours before it dies. Like, there'll be individuals saying, hey, you know, I just saw you on blah, 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 blah. But when it's over, it's over. And if you have no follow-up, it's completely over.
Right.
Like, while you're going viral, you need to have your next banger ready to go.
That's it.
Ready to go.
That's it. I mean, you got to keep moving. Just use that to bounce to something different. You know, I started off with my shit, taking what I did, you know, and started doing local TV, and then it kind of moved up from there. Next thing you know, I'm doing national commercials, and yo, if you want to laugh your ass off, go to YouTube and type in Rolo Slicer and look at my assness infomercial. It's really, really embarrassing. But the check cash, that's all I'm saying. it's not pretty. but you know, it's that hustle, it's like keep pushing, you know, it's like keep doing and making that thing happen. It's you know, but doing that allows me to be able to do events and meet guys like Dame. Like that's how it works, man. You keep pushing and pushing. The same thing with him, man. I can only imagine McDonald's ain't rolling the red carpet out for you if you didn't hustle your ass off to get there.
Correct. And you know what it is, man? It's being real with yourself. Because there's a lot of individuals, they'll do anything for a check. They'll say anything. I won't do it, bro.
Yeah.
Like, there's no company that can hit me up and say, hey, listen, you know, we're going to pay you $50,000 to say this about this particular. I will decline that in a heartbeat.
Well, just let me know what they want to say, and if you don't want it, I'll do it for 36. I'm just saying.
Yo, you probably think I'm crazy. Yo, I've turned down a lot of money over the years.
Yeah.
I've turned it down because it messes with me. And you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that I've done. I am no perfect man, let me tell you. But when it comes to my grind, I take that serious. Like, if I hate something, I just hate it. There's nothing else no one else could say to me about how I feel about that particular, you know, sandwich, that particular item right there. If it's bad, it's bad. I'm not going to just say it's bad. I'm going to break down why it's bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Completely. I mean, that's what's up. I mean, if you don't want to, you got to be honest, I guess is the whole point, man. If you're not honest, it's you know, one of the things, the restaurant road trip that we did, man, it's about, if you can't be honest with it, then why are you doing it? You know, don't right. become the liar guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. People can see through you. You know, I mean, I understand, especially even when TV, that's why I love the YouTube grind. Because even on TV, there's a lot of times where it's just, you know, just everything is great and everything isn't great. But somebody, if they're getting paid to say it and you don't want to make someone else look bad, you'll just say that everything's amazing. Incorrect. Because if I follow through and go to the exact same restaurant and get what you showed on TV and it is trash, I'm about to have a field day.
Yeah.
I'm about to have a field day.
That's and it, right?
My field day, I'm going to showcase the part where you said it was amazing. And then I'm going to break that down.
Hey, I just got a message from our buddy Ryan Chris Reese, checking the show out tonight. What's up, Ryan, man? Always pleasure to hear from you. He goes, that's me, what you just said. He's like, nah, I'll just say that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. bad. But you know what? It was cool. And this is why I love Rachel Ray, bro. Because she knew how I was before I even signed to her over 4 years ago. And she was just like, if this is something you don't like, you just don't like it.
Right.
You know, she said, we won't 100% bash anybody, but you do what you do in your interesting little way. And she left it at that. So everything that's really bad, I'll be like, oh, well, this is interesting. I like using that word, interesting. Because then I'm not saying that it's terrible, but I damn sure ain't saying it's great either. This is interesting. That means somebody named Mama just might like it, but it ain't going to be me.
Dude, that's really funny. I ain't saying it's good, but I ain't saying it's bad either. I just said something. That's all I did.
I just said so it wouldn't be dead space.
I just said something, so we're all on the same page.
And we're getting B-roll. He ain't even talking no more. It must be interesting.
Right? Hey. Hey, let me ask you, man. So when it comes down to if you had to, you can't pick a favorite, but you can pick a favorite style of food, man. Are you a burger guy? Are you a taco guy? I mean, are you a chicken sandwich guy? Like, what's your thing? What's your be all end all? Your pizza?
Well, I am. I'm a burger guy to the core, and I've been a burger guy before YouTube. Like, you go to a cookout, that's what you checking for. Who's making that mean burger on the grill, and who is on the grill? You know, you slide over to that grill, you see them hot dogs over there. They might be plump. They might be all wrinkled up like somebody extra old, right? But you see that burger right there, and it just got that different drip to it. They got that different little bit of grease game on it right there. And so you know when you hit that beef, it's about to change your life, right? Damn. I grew into being a burger man early on in the game. So it was only inevitable that once I started YouTube, I had to find that perfect burger. 2012, that perfect burger happened at Five Guys. However, I found the Five Guys burger killer when I was in L.A. and went to Fat Burger. Not In-N-Out, Fat Burger. Ooh. That shut the game down indefinitely.
Fat Burger. Tell me about the burger. What was on it? How was it?
First of all, you didn't have time to even see that video I dropped from Fat Burger, right?
I actually think I might have seen some of it, but I watch the channel all the time.
When this is over, just look at my Fat Burger. Let me tell you something.
I just wrote it down.
I walked inside there into Fat Burger. It wasn't a large location whatsoever. One of the kids that was working behind the counter, he recognized me. And he was like, my man, you got to see how we whip this up, how we put it together. Come to the back. I said, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? So I'm walking in the back into the kitchen, and I'm watching him make this burger for me. He was like, do you want the double XL, the triple XL, or the super nasty, fat nasty that I'm going to make just for you? I said, well, if you're going to call it like that, then just look at him, baby. You know what I'm saying? So he's over there making the super nasty, fat, nasty for me. And I see him. I say, yo, I don't want to give away all their trade secrets, you know, because every establishment has a certain way that they make their burger magic.
Right.
And Fat Burger had that way of taking that bun and having that grill touch that bun just right to get the bun toasted up on you. Mm-hmm. Slap a little bit of mustard up on there, and you know, not too much on the condiment game because you don't want to drown your beef. Nice. Just enough to make it appreciate that bottom layer, and then you hit that first patty. You slap some of that processed cheese up on there. However, they use that old special yellow cheese. Yo, you know what, Chef? I almost think it was government cheese. Now, government cheese back in the day.
You mean government cheese?
Yo, government cheese was the truth.
I mean, there's no S in it, it's just government cheese.
Straight government cheese, right?
It's government cheese, yes.
You got layers of government cheese up on there and more beef, onions, sitting there grilled up real tough, right? Oof. Oh, my goodness. Chopped up to near perfection. Slapping bacon on that thing. Bacon had rigor mortis, extra stiff on that burger. Let me tell you something. When he topped it off with a little bit of special mayo, not regular mayo,
okay.
He hit it with some special mayo. And the special mayo usually has a little bit of ketchup in it. You could tell by the tint, right? So I had a little special mayo up on there. Slapped that top bun that was toasted up. I took that bite, and I think a single tear fell from my eye. I'm pretty sure it happened that way.
Damn, I'm gonna watch that video here when we get done. I don't remember that one at all. I thought I did. I don't remember that one at all, man. I gotta check that out
right now. Here's a great thing. You ready for this? Now, my Five Guys video is probably over 9 million views right now.
Unbelievable.
And with the help of course, the Gregory brothers.
Right.
It going viral, getting crazy. My Fat Burger video, I think, is over 4 million. And that's all straight, organic, no help of nobody.
Damn, that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
That's just me getting busy up close on you. I Dude. Promise you, after you watch the video, Chef, you're going to want to slide up over there and handle your business straight to L.A.
I'm telling you what right now, listening to you talk about a burger is kind of making me want to go make a baby. That's all I'm saying. And I don't need, I got three, but I don't need any more. But for some reason, I just kind of want you talking about burgers when that's happening. Is that weird? Maybe it's weird. I don't know. Man,
when it's that good, when the flavor is that right, when it's well-seasoned, I get excited, bro.
That's
I do.
That's I got. I want to make you a burger. Yo, I was doing this burger with pimento cheese and bacon jam that is makes ooh. You go to church. Makes you go to church. Ooh. That's all, that's like all I'm that? Saying. That's all I'm saying. You're going to go to church with it. Hey, we haven't talked about Rachel Ray at all, man. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about her. And
let's go.
You know, as chef, I'm going to tell you what. As a chef, I have very strong feelings, especially working with Food Network and everything that's happened with them. And, you know, they got bought by Discovery Channel. It's a long story. I did a pilot. It's a long bullshit story. But, you know, they're changing everything over there right now. But one thing that's always a constant, especially, you know, I don't even think she does much work with them anymore. But Rachel Ray is someone, as a chef, I always had a lot of respect for because she doesn't call herself a chef. And what she does do is give awesome people a platform, except for me. And I'm just kidding. I never tried either. But, you know, she brought you on. She fell in love with you, man, and has had you doing some amazing stuff from, you know, the kids thing on Food Network to being on her show. I mean, how has that life been for you, man? Because, honestly, having that opportunity is amazing.
Let me tell you something, man.
And look, I ain't downplaying it. You worked your ass off for it. I ain't saying that just shit fell in your lap.
When Rachel had her people hit me up.
Do you have her cell phone?
Yeah. She's on the jack now. You know,
Can we text Rachel right now?
I'm gonna go ahead and just drop that in. We text each other. You know what I'm saying? But
Dave, you hear that?
But here's the fly thing, right? Okay. When my video, my Five Guys video went viral 2012, I remember this like it was yesterday. The first TV personality to reach out to me was Dr. Oz, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But he had me on his show twice from late 2012, early 2013. Literally 2 weeks after that second episode aired, Jimmy Fallon's people reached out to me. And this is before he took over for Jay Leno. Next thing I know, I'm doing two exclusive videos for Jimmy Fallon. Late night Jimmy Fallon. One was...
Was that a good paycheck? I ain't asking for a dollar amount. Was that a good paycheck?
It was just a plug.
No shit. All right,
It was just a plug, yo. Damn. But that's okay, though. You know
it's
what
a
I'm
good
saying?
Plug.
From the come up. I didn't know no better.
No, dude, I'm totally with you. I did so much shit for free. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, he was like, I want some exclusive videos you haven't done on YouTube. Can you hook me up? I was like, I got you. Come on, Jimmy. Stop playing. I got you.
Stop playing, Jimmy.
This is Jimmy hitting me and talking to me direct, baby. I feel on top of the world.
You got his cell phone number, too?
Well, back then. The thing's different now.
He gave me that burner phone number.
But, the burger phone, the burger bat phone. That's what it was back
that's
then.
That's what it was.
But, you know, the McDonald's McRib, and the other one was for Valentine's Day, which happened to be a box of the Russell Stover's chocolates.
Oh,
a big
Jesus.
Box of those, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, boom. So, I did two for Dr. Oz, two shows for Jimmy Fallon, and maybe 2 months after that second episode aired for Jimmy Fallon is when I got contacted by Rachel Ray's people. Next thing I know, I'm talking to Rachel Ray. Next thing I know, I'm talking to her lawyer. Next thing I know, she's like, you're not going anywhere else. You'll be signing this contract. I got plans for you. That's how she said it, bro.
Wow.
Inside of my Chrysler 300 that I had at the time, I got plans for you. And I've been rocking wear heavy ever since.
Hey,
and she took care of your boy.
How does that conversation go with your wife? Like, that's the one that's interesting to me. Like, that happens. That phone call happens. You have that conversation. You call your wife. And, like, how does that go?
So, it's like, baby, guess what happened? It's like, oh, what happened?
And she
like,
says, uh-oh. I love how she goes, uh-oh.
She's just with the uh-oh. She's like, oh, what happened? I was like, yo, Rachel put me on the team. Like, I'm official on the team. Like, that's I will be insane. On episode after episode getting crazy wild love from Rachel Ray. And she's like, insane. Word? You serious? I'm like, yeah. She was like, you do whatever that woman needs you to do. I was like, and that's what I'm doing. I'm the boy. You know what
I mean, if you ain't got Oprah, but you got next best thing is Rachel Ray. That's for damn sure.
Next best thing is Rachel Ray. Exactly.
Damn, that's what an amazing phone call that was. I mean, listen, yeah. I don't ever want to be the guy who ever brings a guest on the show and talks about other people, but I've got to because I've met a lot of these guys. I've never met Rachel Ray. Is she cool?
She all right. Here's the thing.
You've been to her house.
you'll hear everything under the sun about Rachel Ray, right? Good, bad, and indifferent.
Sure.
And you'll hear the same things about anybody, but with Rachel, she's been in the industry for a long time. She knows what it is that she likes, what it is that she wants. It's been her show, never been anybody else's, right? She built that from ground up. So when you have somebody that comes in, Chef, that tells you how to do your job, you may not always agree with it. Right. You've been doing it for, you didn't just start yesterday. You That's know true. What I'm saying? But everybody has an idea as to what's going to make you a better chef. Everybody named Mama wants to have an idea what's going to make you better. That's going to bother you after a while. So you might come off with a little bit of attitude. Me, I never got no negative energy from Rachel. Every time we talk, it's all love. It's laughter. It's jokes. It's having a good time. Like, she brings me into the Christmas parties. I met her husband, John. He's up on stage playing with his band. We're rocking out the long way. Like, she's showing me family love. You know what I'm saying? Wow. So I understand when the days where it's like she's filming 4 or 5 shows in a day, and by the end, she's broken down and tired and might not come off as, you know, Miss Ultra excited about everybody breathing the same air around her. You are human at the end of the day. You are normal at the end of the day.
Wow. I mean, that's a great way to look at it, though. People don't realize how hard that shit gets, man, when you have to do that many, you have to do that many shows in a day. It's true. Sometimes you record a bunch of them. I remember as Food Network shows I've done. I mean, it's 13-hour days. It's crazy.
It's long. It's not a normal person's schedule.
No.
And people still expect for you to be, Mr. or Mrs. Perfect with the upbeat attitude and ready to greet the world. When reality is, we bleed just like everybody else bleeds. Check it out. We will have bad days. When we have our bad days, we're just going to be in a particular zone. You got to catch us when it's good. That's all.
Man, you're absolutely right about that, man. It's so crazy. I got a couple of questions from Instagram for you, man. If I can steal a few more minutes of your time, if that's cool.
Yeah.
Nicole Bordeaux won. I spent the last week in New Orleans speaking to a culinary school and like talking to some kids and met some pretty cool kids down there, man. It's pretty awesome to see. Nicole Bordeaux won. Wants to know, what's been your favorite burger you've had so far? I know you talked about that, the Fat Burger. But what about that Rachel Ray burger you had on that segment with her? Compare that to something like a Five Guys or something like that.
All right, let me tell you something. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the Rachel Ray, and it was called the Big Smacker. The first burger she made for me was called the Big Smacker with the Worcestershire sauce and like the wicked pickle that she was calling. Like, it has so many flavors that I had to put it in a category of its own. Mm. It wasn't even a regular burger. It was an adventure. I took a bite out of an adventure. You see what I'm saying? Like, you don't even compare that to no other burger because ain't nobody doing it like that.
Was it hot?
So, as far as the burger game, yeah, that Big Smacker burger holds its own crown.
But wait, when you had it in the segment, because look, I know how TV works, man, and I know how the game works and all that shit, but like, a lot of times you get this food and, they even tell you, listen, it may not be hot when you get it. It might be room temperature. Was the burger warm and fresh when you got it, or had it been sitting there on set for an hour?
Nah, it actually had love. Actually, I got some lukewarm action out of that burger. It wasn't Frosty the Snowman cold.
Right.
And some foods that I had on TV, I won't even go there.
I know what you're talking about.
I got some love on that one right there, though. I got love.
Dude, that's too funny. I know exactly.
Oh, yeah, I get that Frosty the Snowman sometimes, and I got to sit there grin and bear it and be like, you know what? This is interesting.
I love a cold chicken sandwich. I mean, delicious chicken sandwich. It's awesome.
It's crazy, dude. It's crazy. Like, I mean, that's the hardest part about TV, which a lot of people will never, ever understand, unless you're dealing with a situation where you're filming, live, and you're eating it as you see it, coming off the stove, off the grill, whatever the case may be. Unless you're eating it direct from there and giving your opinion on it at that point, you're just eating things that probably should have been staged for a showcase, and that's about it. Not consumed. So you're sitting there taking a bite out of a reality that you just don't want to be a part of.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth, man? I mean, you're so right about that. And the worst part is, too, when you go in there as a contestant on one of these particular shows, and look, it ain't about me, but when I was on The Taste on ABC, the first season of that show, man, they told the judges right off the bat, and they told us right off the bat, listen, your food's going to be sitting there for about 45 minutes before the judges eat it, so keep that in mind when you make it. I'm like, what?
Damn. That's how you beat somebody in the head and, like, take all the air out of their sails. It's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
And here I am excited because there's Anthony Bourdain sitting right in front of me. And I'm like, okay, Bourdain's going to taste my food, but he's tasting that shit cold.
Yeah.
Damn it, you know? Fuck. What can you do about that, man? Listen, so when you're hanging with someone like Rachel Ray and you're doing her show, how many times a year are you doing the show now? And does she let you do other shows or no?
So I definitely signed a no compete, you know, so I can't do any shows that are similar to hers, but I'm allowed to do any other show. Like, I remember when I ran out there to Massachusetts and I went to Wahlburgers for the first time, did a food review there, and I remember hating the French fries.
Really?
Do you remember Mike Tyson's punch out with Glass Joe?
Do I remember Mike? Yes, I was just playing that shit. Yes, yes. That was awesome.
I put Glass Joe on the screen because that's how weak the fries were. I beat them in the head about the fries.
That's terrible.
I'm on the show Wahlburgers, and Paul is bringing me three different type of French fries to choose from
that they're
going to start putting in all of their locations.
Come on.
I opened up season 7 of the Wahlburgers with Paul and Donnie talking about the fries, going over the review that they watched of mine, and that was an experience and a half. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Damn.
It was crazy. It was
I mean, look, when you got those guys sitting in front of you, what do you say? Are you like, yes, I said that? Or you're like, look, the fries just weren't good?
Oh, I keep it 100. I don't care. It could be the president in front of me. If you would have made up some boo-boo to fool, I got to let you know when you dropped the ball.
Damn.
You see what I'm saying, too? When I'm looking at most people anyway, they probably come up to, you know, my titty milk. You know, my man nipple. I'm powering over you. I'm not afraid of you. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at you. I'm mushing you in the head like, yo, these fries are funky, B. You got to fix them. That's what I told him.
Dude. All right, let me ask you. Do you ever use that word man milk, man titty milk on the Rachel Ray show, or not quite yet? Is that still
in the box? I haven't got a chance to whip that one out on him yet.
Dude, that's coming down a little while. We're saving that one. Hey, look, here's another question real quick, man, from our friend Chef Kevin down there in the Carolinas. He just went through a terrible hurricane. Hope you're doing well, brother. I feel bad for you. Hope everything's going well. Hope he's got an Italian restaurant. He always wins best chef from Myrtle Beach down there. He wants to know, what emotion does food make you feel the most?
Ooh, I like that drink right there. The emotion food makes me feel the most, if it's good, is joy.
Ooh.
Complete bliss and joy. Like, I can let, when my eyes roll in the back of my head, when I take certain bites, when you see me in the video, it's really happening that way.
Okay.
It's like, I'm sitting back there, I'm like, what just happened? And where am I going right now? Then I have to open my eyes and realize that I'm actually still filming and then, you know, pretty much break the thing down. But I get like this rush, this rush of just joy and excitement at the same time when it's good. When it's bad, straight anger, bro. Straight anger, like I want to fight it. Like I want to hold the burger or chicken sandwich and start punching it.
Jesus.
Just start beating it in front of the camera. I've done that
sometimes. You need to find Jesus. I'm just kidding.
It's
just
always raw emotion, baby. It's raw emotion, good, bad, or indifferent, and I just shoot that back out to the people. But I'm always looking for a 5 all day. I need to start my review as if whatever I'm about to review is already magnificent. And when I take that first bite, I can't hide it. You know where I'm going through my facial expressions. It's written all over my face every single time.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. Trudy P. wants to know, Dame, can we get more tacos? Please, more tacos. Not Taco Bell, but independent places. That's verbatim.
Some taco love. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I could find some fire taco spots out here. Like, I know, again, when I'm on the West Coast.
Yo, Salsa Fresca in Brookfield, dog.
What is it called?
Salsa Fresca in Brookfield. They're not bad.
Okay, then you know what? Then maybe both of us need to slide over there and show them some love. Since it's your spot that you plug in, that way if they serve up some boo-boo to fool, I got you on camera. Like, remember, Durbin, you know what I'm saying? Your live joint, you plug this spot, baby.
This is where you run this show. It's pretty good, man. I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good. I love tacos. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Then you'll be doing that food review. You'll be doing that review with me when we go out there to Brookfield.
I'll sit in the car. Let's do it. I don't know if you want me. I'll just be laughing at your ass the whole time, man. <'Cause>, I love the rhyme. Here's the thing, man. I'm a former pro wrestler. I don't know if you know that. Like, I was a pro wrestler for a long time. I love a great gimmick, man. And gimmick is not a bad word. It's a great word. I have a great gimmick. I call what I do catertainment. Like, I love what I do.
And
a gimmick is a good thing. Dude, I come out, I talk about the food, talk about where it came from, you know, why I got it, why I put these things together. I tell a story about the farmer I bought it from. People love that shit. And that's why I think you're so good at what you do, because you tell a story, you're talking from the heart. And what you said, that emotion is there. You get angry, you get happy, you know, you feel the love, or you want to punch the chicken sandwich. That's why it's so good at what you're so good at what you do. And that's why people like Rachel Ray love you. That's why Dr. Oz loves you. It's awesome to see, man. And I got nothing but respect for the hustle that you got going on, brother.
I appreciate that, fam. Definitely.
No doubt about it. Yo, Dave, tell me. Oh, wait. One more thing I got to ask you about, man. What's going on in New Britain with you, man? You got some jazz stuff going up? What's up?
I want heads to get ready, man. I remember, you know, I live out here in New Britain, and I'm always saying we have no nightlife. If I want to do anything in the evening, especially come the weekends or whatever, I need to go to Hartford, or I slide out there to Bridgeport, Connecticut. Needed something in my backyard. So I just linked up with the right people, man, and now we got jazz again. We had jazz before a Dame Drop Cellar that was connected to the kitchen. The kitchen's temporarily closed while the owner figures life out over there.
Okay.
I linked up with my boy Devon Tanksley of DMTS Radio, and that's basically directing musicians to success. He works with nothing but independent artists. He provided a home, a platform for independent artists, and I'm like, look, you got the space, bro? Let me bring jazz up over here. He said, if you could bring it, let's do it. So we have our first soft open of jazz, 105 West Main Street, New Britain, Connecticut, DMTS Radio Live, bro. And I have the Alvin Carter Project coming this Friday. And it's the first Friday of every single month. And then after Friday, it's every Wednesday night. And it's always 7 to 10. It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to come through on one of these Wednesdays, man. That sounds like Fridays are tough for me. But a Wednesday,
Wednesday night, man. Getting over the hump, man. Getting over the hump.
Dude, I love that. That's amazing. That sounds like a lot of fun, dude, for real. Like, jazz. Like, dude, I was in New Orleans, and that's all I do is love to go see music. It's so much fun.
That's what I did when I was in New Orleans. And let me tell you something, man. New Orleans got some good eating. Louisiana gets it popping, bro. I went to the Acme Oyster House when I was out there. French quartering it up something proper. I had hand grenades. I think I went out there during Mardi Gras, if I'm not mistaken. It was lit. But, dude,
It's all right. Listen, so here's my thing. So I work out in Montauk, out in the Hamptons all summer long, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out there. I have a client. I'm out there working my ass off. And you know, it's like a 12-hour, 15-hour day. And then I get done. I go to the yacht club, and which sounds really bad to say, but it's a cool spot. I go there. I'll drink 5, 6, 9 beers, eat a whole pizza, and then go to bed. Wake up and do the same thing the next day. It's not healthy. It's not good. So, look, since Labor Day, I haven't touched beer. I haven't touched carbohydrate. I'm trying to – look, I'm 40 years old, man. I got to do something, right? It's not good.
Right.
So I'm trying to take a little breather from it. But then I had to go to New Orleans while I'm trying to do this whole no, like, beer thing and no carbohydrate. It's really hard, man, down there. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, it definitely is, bro. There's too much good eatings, too many restaurants serving you up. If that's your first time having a po' boy, definitely will say go with that shrimp po' boy. You will not see the plate. All you will see is that nice, soft, tough bread. I call it soft, tough.
I'll eat the plate.
You get that soft, tough bread, a whole bunch of shrimp, and Hellman's mayo packets. That's it.
Or Duke's. Duke's mayo is the shit that I was using.
Oh,
that's it right there. Sir. Hey, look here, man. October 13th, you got to come out to Bridgeport, man. We're doing, I'm emceeing the Oktoberfest over at Harlan House. You talk about a good time. It's right by you, man. It's a lot of fun, man. I'll make sure they take care of you. It's a good spot.
Just remind me. You know, I'm getting old, bro. I just turned 41. I can't remember what tomorrow or yesterday is looking like.
Look,
let me know again.
I'm with you, man. With you. I'm gonna send you my cell phone here, and we get off this. So I'm gonna text it to you through Skype, so you have my number, man. Listen, Dave, give him some information about Dame, man. I've been running my mind. You want to ask him anything? By the way, I've been talking the whole fucking time.
Your poor Dave. Your Dave ain't getting no love, Dave.
Nope.
What's up, Dave?
Well, he fucked up the one plug. What do you want me to do? I'm messing with you. You know I love you, buddy. Come on.
Actually, I have a question. What's the online training courses about?
My man. There you go. See? My man.
I mean, dude, every time I travel, and I do a lot of traveling with traveling mom, traveling dad, it's a major network, and these people are amazing. You know, that's why I've been doing so much work out in Disney World, to be exact, because of traveling moms. But everybody was always saying, hey, Dan, you know, I have so many questions about YouTube, and I would do my best to give them, like, one-off courses. But it's still never enough because we never have enough time because we're not there for YouTube. We're there to make sure, you know, the new attractions are getting the heavy plug and all that good stuff. So I was like, where can I create a space that everyone has access to, that I can give everyone help about YouTube. And when I'm talking everyone help from like start to finish, and that finish is so far away because everybody needs something different. They want to know about editing software. They want to know what's the best camera to use, consistencies, collaborations. They want to understand SEO just a little bit better. So, you know, just little things like that. I want to sit down and break it all down step by step. And that's, you know, www.damedrops.tv. My first course is going to drop on Saturday. A new course drops every single Saturday. And individuals can even say what courses they would love to see in the near future. I'm going to add them to the course list. But I'm going to change some careers out there, man. It's never too late to start with YouTube. Individuals feel it's 2018. YouTube started in 2006. It's too late to come into the game. They won't be able to grow their channel. I'm here to let you know that with your persistence, with your consistency, with your drive, with your passion, there's nothing that is ever too late for you to start in this world. Whether it's YouTube or becoming a doctor, a lawyer, whatever the case may be, you're never ever too late. And I'm here to help you through it.
Dude, and that's the best thing about that, too. I was checking that out. I'm probably going to jump on there and subscribe to that this tonight, as a matter of fact, because I want to get some info from Dane. Listen, I'm not, I ain't going to sell you out here on the show, man. I'm not going to make you talk about that shit live, of course, because that's the secret. It's a trade secret, so you got to get. But it's not, you don't even, I mean, dude, you're charging like peanuts for it. It's nothing. I thought for sure it was going to be expensive. Dude, that's nothing.
$2.99 a month, bro.
Ain't nothing.
It's $2.99 a month, and you're going to get beat in the head with so many courses that I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make it easy for you to grow your brand, to grow your audience, to make sure that your channel doesn't tank, but you have to be willing to put in the work, because none of this happens overnight.
And dude, here's the thing about it, too, man. You can't even buy a number 5 McDonald's for $2.99 a month.
Nope.
You can't get it. Hey, last question. Last question from Instagram, man, then I'll shut up and let you go. And I do appreciate your time, late, bro. I know I've gone a little long here. I could talk to you all night long. You have no idea. We could do this
for
3 hours.
You know I appreciate you, Chef. You know I appreciate you.
Dude, you're the man, bro. I really appreciate it. So Eric Sarsky on Instagram wants to know, I got to change his question a little bit. He wants to know exactly how much money does Instagram pay, not Instagram, does YouTube pay? But I'm going to change that just a little bit. How many subscribers does it take for you to finally start seeing a profit?
Okay.
Without, like, you know, he wants to know numbers, but I'm not going to, you don't sell some, you don't fucking go in there and ask them how much money they make. That's not cool.
You, when it comes to Google ads, they love that $100 threshold, right?
Okay.
When I was around 5,000 subscribers, I started seeing my first little bit of check, and that little bit of check is a lot. Even if it is, you know, $113, that's an extra $113 that you didn't have before.
Hell yeah. When you're working at Walmart, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Especially after, you know, taxes done hit you. You sitting there walking home with pennies. You got the extra $113 coming in from YouTube. You're like, okay, that could hold me down, right?
That's a power bill.
The best thing about YouTube, and I will always say this, you control what your next month check will look like. You have a lot of control over it. It really comes down to views. It comes down to how long individuals are sitting there watching your videos, how many ads are sitting in your videos. You're going to notice everything over 10 minutes, right? Once individuals get monetized, everything over 10 minutes, YouTube allows you to add extra ads to your video as long as they're not demonetizing your channel. Now, when you add extra ads to your video, and say your video is 14 minutes long, and you have a good, I'll say 60,000 views on that, 100,000 views on that, that all adds up to more bank in your pocket. And the more videos you have that are looking that sexy, it's a great look for you. A lot of individuals have a hard time getting 1,000 views. That's understood. So maybe it's something about your content that needs to be tweaked. You know, and like I said, that's what these YouTube courses that I'm doing online, that's what it's all about. Tweaking your current content or helping you find your voice to create content. That's going to be a big draw to where your views are going to be coming from.
Because they're producing content, man. We get you into producing other people.
What happened now?
We got to get you into producing other people.
Yeah, man, I'm all about that life. I've helped a lot of channels get popping out there. You know, my biggest success story outside of my own, you know, real quick, is with the Healthy Junk Food. And I met JP and Julia years ago when they were ready to give up on YouTube altogether. Right. They were putting a lot of time into their videos. They're a cooking channel. They were making kind of base meals back then. And once I met them, they started recreating fast food dishes. And I remember having a conversation with JP. And I'm like, look, you have all of this equipment here that you're not using. at the time, I remember they were using the iPhone to do all of their filming. Nothing wrong with using your cell phone whatsoever, but he also had a DSLR camera. And I'm like, look, you can get better image quality out of your DSLR camera, especially when it comes to the food. That's an evil necessity. You want to make sure that food looks amazing. Now, what you want to do is take your food to the next level, because at the same time, Epic Mealtime started kind of breaking up a little bit.
Hold up, Dave, that's the shit I couldn't remember. Epic Mealtime, that was the shit that I couldn't remember earlier in the show.
Oh, all right.
I was a giant Epic Mealtime fan. I fucking love that shit. That stuff is ridiculous.
Those guys are amazing. I'm like, yo, truth be told, Harley gave them, me right? my first big break.
No shit.
Harley and Epic Mealtime gave me my first big break. He was the first one to collaborate with me when I was out there in L.A. filming my TV show on Travel Channel, Best Dame Takeout, back in 2013. He was the first one to say, Dame, come through. Yo, I love what you're doing on YouTube. Let's collab. And that's when I met everyone at Epic Mealtime. I was there for like 2 days with them. It was crazy.
Are they nuts?
You see what I'm saying to you? So, you know, fast forward with Healthy Junk Food, JP and Julia, I told them to start making massive meals. I was like, look, start making those big Epic Mealtime sized meals and watch things change with your channel. And they started doing that, bro. And things took off for them. Now they're just dropping videos. I remember when they were like trending number one and number two on YouTube for months back to back. And they went from a channel at that time of 3,000 subscribers, because when I met them, that's what they had. And now, what, they're about to hit, what, 3 million? Like, they're
the channels.
It has blown up tremendous. You know, and I have a lot of other people that I have under my wing that their channels are growing as well. But now, again, I just wanted to expand out and help a lot of other individuals. And that's why www.damedrops.tv is the place to be learn a little bit of that YouTube, baby.
That's it, man. It's all about teaching people, man. Honestly, I talk about it as a chef. Like, you got to know where you came from to know where you're going. And it's important to be able to teach people and show them things and show them how to do this stuff. Because, listen, in the end, it all comes back to you. And again, man, you're one of those guys who is just incredibly cool, incredibly nice. Just super humble. I mean, after all the success you've had, you're still super humble. And I'm telling you what, man, you ain't done yet. The sky is the limit. There's a lot more coming from Dame Drops, that's for damn sure.
I definitely appreciate that, fam. Definitely.
My man. Dave, give him one more. Give him a plug so that people know where they can find him, man, so we can get him out of here. I've kept him on the damn line way too long as it is.
All right, you can check him out on his YouTube channel, youtube.com/DameDrops, on his Facebook at facebook.com/OfficialDameDrops, and of course, his YouTube training courses, DameDrops.tv.
There he is. Dame, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time tonight, man. It's been so informative. I could literally talk to you for 4 hours. I have so many more questions, but you know, I'm gonna go to DameDrops.tv and try to get most of them answers.
My man. Hey, you know what it is. Great talking with you guys, man.
You're the man, brother. Hey, listen, man, let me know. I just sent you I sent on Skype there my cell phone number, man. Hit me up. Let me know what's up. If you need help with food and wine or whatever this year, whatever I can do, I'm always here. Just reach out, dude. We're local. We're famous. What we do.
All right, Plum, greatly appreciate you, bro. Thanks for having me on.
You're the man, Dame. I'll talk to you soon. Take care, brother. Peace. All right, there he goes, Dave. How about that dude, huh?
Pretty awesome.
I mean, seriously, like that dude, I mean, you look at a guy like him and what he's done. He's a wealth of knowledge. That guy has been around the block more times than anybody, I can tell you. And he has learned how to make this shit work. That's how it goes. And especially in this day and age with the hustle and all that stuff, learning to make this work is so important.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. There you go. And here's the thing with Dame. Like, I really want to go eat a sandwich with him right now. That's what I just want to go do. The way he talks reminds me so much of, like, a Dusty Rhodes or just some of the great talkers in the world, the Ric Flairs, just the people who are great speakers. He's such a great speaker, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I definitely want to go eat, like, a burger now, for sure.
Yo, food and wine, we're taking care of him, all right? No matter what happens.
Heard.
I want him to come hang and kick it with us. We're going to do a live show. You know what might be fun? If I could talk Dame into coming to the Navy show we're planning, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I did work on planning. But there you go. He just texted me. That's what's up. Get him to come hang out with us for the Navy show and maybe do a burger cook-off and let Dame be the judge.
That'd be pretty good, actually.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
Listen, Dave, I appreciate you. I know you powered through tonight, man. I really appreciate that. I appreciate everybody listening. Please, if you have time, please go on them iTunes or Apple Podcasts and rate, review, and subscribe. This show comes to you once a week for free on Tuesdays and Monday nights. I don't know, Dave, what's better, Monday or Tuesdays?
I mean, they both work pretty decent. It just depends on what show we're doing.
Yeah, I guess we'll figure it out. Whatever, man. Maybe eventually we'll get to where we're doing it 7 days a week. That'd be baller. My wife would
pretty cool. Yeah.
Make sure you follow my man at Dame Drops, at official Dame Drops, of course, on Instagram. Make sure you follow my man Dave at Dave Boredom, and of course me at Chef _ Plum on Instagrams. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your time tonight. Hey, listen, I think Dame's favorite question was our friend Kevin from Hot Blocks. I feel like it's weird to say, but I mean, our friend Kevin, he had the best. I mean, Dame was like, wow, that's a really good question. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
We'll put Kevin in the running for some new gear from our friends over at Line Threads. Make sure you check them out, linethreads.com. And, of course, at Line Threads on Instagram. Great clothes made by even better people. They're great guys over there. Eric's a good dude. Make sure you check him out at Line Threads. That wasn't bad. Should we add anything else to that or leave it alone?
I think we're pretty good.
There you go. What was it? Uncommon clothing for the I don't remember what it was. It was pretty dope, though.
Yeah, definitely.
You're a sales rep. You don't remember the fucking catchphrase?
Oh man, you're killing me.
Alright, I'm like, why am I killing you? This is shit you should know.
It's cooking's a calling, not a lifestyle.
There you go. Cooking's a calling, not a lifestyle. Our friends over at Lion Threads. We're gonna do another let's draw a winner for that on Friday. How's that sound?
Sound good.
And of course, if you're around locally, check it out, Star 99.9. I'll be on there cooking some squirrel. We'll talk about that next week and more.
some what?
Some squirrel.
Is that how you have to do it?
That's it. That's it. That's a squirrel. There you go, like that. Just like that. Dave, thank you for your time tonight, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Please remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we get the time it deserves. We'll see you next week. Peace.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.